I'd just like us to read from 1 Corinthians 15, a few verses from 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 1. And it says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born, for I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preached, and this is what we believed." Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, way back in the Old Testament, God taught the children of Israel how they should love him. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." In other words, God wants men to love him genuinely with their whole being. But what we have to remember is that God loved us first. God loved us first. It's not like we love God and then he loved us. He loved us first. 1 John 4 verse 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the proper we," as Bob Quinn used to say, "wheelbarrow for our sins. Jesus took our place in death that we might find eternal life in him. And today let us be thankful that God is so gracious in the way he loves and cares for us. Okay. And you know, each one of us has to personally consider the love of God towards us. And it's because we don't come to him seeking mercy and salvation on the merits of anything that we have done. But we come on the merits of what Jesus has done. And it's because of what he did that we today have a right to heaven and eternal life. And this is God's gift to us today. But it's only if we accept Jesus as our own as well. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, this life is not something that we can give to ourselves. It's a gift. It's a gift from God this morning. And this morning we ought to be thinking in our hearts on this question: if God loves me so much, what should I, or what could I, do in return for his love? Have you ever thought of it that way? Just how much God gives to each and every one of us. What can we give in return? Should we love him with all our being? Should we love him with everything that we have? What we have to understand is that the love of God is so vast and so great, and it's well beyond our human comprehension. We just cannot fathom it. But we can try and give him as much as we can. Jeremiah 31 verse 3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness I have drawn thee." So what we have to remember is that when God draws us, he is extending his mercy and grace towards each and every one of us. And we have to know that he's not going to turn around and leave us. He's going to stay with us. He's going to bless our lives. Just not just here on earth, but for eternity. Think of how rich God's love is towards us. Consider what he did through his son to redeem us from our sinful life and give us a new life in Jesus. And this new life is eternal, the life of God in us. Now today, let's think about our need, and but exactly what do we need today? Well, it's simple. If you don't have Jesus in your heart and life, then that's the need. That's the need today. You need to get Jesus in your life. Because if you don't have Jesus in your life, you don't have a life. People are sometimes confused because they think they need to go to church more regular to have eternal life. Now, going to church it's wonderful, going to church. But the issue here is coming to Jesus, not just the church. When we come through the door of the house of God, we're coming to worship and praise him. Not the building, to praise him, to praise Jesus, to praise God. So our relationship is with him, not merely the church. John 14 verse 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father except by me. So knowing Jesus in a personal way as our Lord and Saviour and walking with him from day to day is a blessed experience. I want you to note this fact. God loves you. God cares about your soul today. And he will supply to us all that we need. Also, he'll give you the assurance of salvation and satisfy the hunger of our souls. And the only thing that can satisfy our soul today is that which God supplies. No other can give us what we need. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God gives us faith to believe in our salvation, bringing the blessings of Christ into our hearts. So we receive a faith to believe on Jesus and on his work at Calvary, bringing his death and his resurrection from the dead. But we have to use this faith which has been given to us today. It's no good just putting it on the shelf and leaving it there. We have to use the faith, because it is when we take that step of faith to believe on Jesus, on up to our saving our soul, then the promise of everlasting life and one day going up to heaven to be with the Lord, this is the greatest gift that we can ever receive. John 14 verse 1 to 3 says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, many find themselves lost on the day of judgment because they failed to receive the mercies of God, failed to repent of their sinful nature and turn to Jesus in faith. John 3, 17 and 18 says, for God sent his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, some people might say that verse is a bit harsh, but we have to remember is that God doesn't want to destroy men's lives. He sent Jesus into the world to save men, not to destroy them. 2 Peter 3 verse 19, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now if we look at Romans chapter 10, if we open our hearts to these words, they can bring a powerful blessing into our lives. Romans 10 verse 8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. You know, this chapter shows us what God will do, that is, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. His words about faith in Jesus have to reach deep down into our hearts, where it can take root, and then it will bring forth the fruit of salvation. But we have to receive these words of faith. We have to believe them. We have to embrace them deep in our hearts. And we have to believe that what God has given to us through his Son, our Lord and Saviour, that we will believe that he will come into our hearts to be with us forever. And here, what God says we should do. Romans 10 verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Mm-hmm. We shall be saved. These are two very important verses of scripture to embrace, because we call the Lord to believe on, we are called to believe, sorry, because we're called of the Lord to believe on the Lord Jesus for salvation and everlasting life. And we are told here that if we believe on Jesus, we should confess him as Lord and Saviour. Some people give the impression of them that they're ashamed of Jesus. Some of them won't let anybody know that they believe in him. But God is saying that we should confess him. We should confess him. We should be telling everyone we meet about him as our Saviour. That is if we're going to claim him as our Saviour as well. To confess him is to acknowledge him. God doesn't want us to be secret admirers, you know. And we shouldn't want others, and we should want others to know him like we do. So when we speak openly of Jesus, we're confessing him, and we can see that we live what we speak. Then we are told to believe in our heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead. This is necessary, believing that Christ died on the cross for our sins and that God raised him from the dead to be Lord and Saviour. And what we have to remember is that it wasn't for himself that he died, and it wasn't for any sin that he committed, because he knew no sin. It was for the sins of the world, for the sins of mankind. His blood was shed on that cross to cleanse us all from sin. He laid down his life that we, through him, might be saved. So it's all about putting our faith in what he did for us. When he suffered and died on the cross, it was for me. It was for us. He took our place. He took the punishment upon himself. Romans 6 verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the wages of sin was death. And can I say that each one of us was under a death sentence before we came to know the Lord. Romans 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, there seemed no way we could have gotten out of that. We were condemned. It was our punishment. But there was a way. But there was a way. Christ died in our place. That was the only way. He did the dying for us, thinking of what a marvelous truth this is. Christ took my place in death, taking that which was due to me and you, each and every one of us. He went to that cross for us so that we can put our faith and trust in him and be saved. So yes, we do need to confess him with our mouths and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead for our purpose. Also, the Bible tells us to believe in our hearts, but there are two ways of believing in our human bodies. One is to believe in our head, and then the other one is to believe in our hearts. We believe a lot of things in our head in today's society, but none that can give us anything near to eternal life. Some of the things that we believe in our head may be good, while other things are very meaningless. But we are called to believe on the Lord from our hearts. It's a relationship of the heart where we receive Christ, and in the process of receiving him, he receives us. So if you want that relationship with Christ and the fullness of it, you have to believe in your heart in the depth and the in the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is the centerpiece of the gospel today. He died in our place. He was raised from the dead for our benefit, and Christ did what it took to free us from our sins and to give us eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15:17 to 20 says, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. They are also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If only in this life we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But now Christ rose from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept." You know, Jesus left nothing for us to do but to believe on him. That's all he asks. All the work was done by Christ, who died for us, for you and for me today. He died for us to have life. He did the work. He paid the price. He took the punishment, and it was his blood that was placed on the mercy seat in heaven in the presence of God forever. And it's through his shed blood that we have forgiveness and the cleansing of sin today. But we're called to confess with our mouth that the Lord Jesus and to believe in our hearts. So the believing has to be brought into the heart, not just into the head. And the believing is to be deep within our hearts also. When you turn to believe on Jesus in this manner, suddenly you begin to have a deep love in your heart. He becomes your all in all, should we say. And he becomes so important to you. You don't just have him in your mind, in your thoughts. You have him in reality, in experience, in your heart. Also, he comes to dwell in your heart forever. And this is the hope of the gospel. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we need to be in the realm of knowing what Jesus did for us. He died to save us, and God resurrected him from the dead. We are told that if you believe this, you will be saved. And that's what we've got to tell people today. That if they believe, they will be saved. 2 Corinthians 15 verse 3 and 4 says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." 3 days after he was buried, Jesus marvelously and gloriously rose from the grave, victorious, victorious. He died for us. He rose again for our justification. And because he lives, we can also live today. Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Lord of Lords, has ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, just waiting for us to go. He's our own personal Savior today. That is if you know him for yourself. And if you do, we must treat him as our personal Savior. But because he's not a statue, he's not an idol that we worship. He's not a picture, he's the living Saviour. Okay. Mm-hmm. Living in the hearts of those that know him. 1 Timothy 2 verses 5 and 6 says, "For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." It's through Christ and Christ alone that we have forgiveness of sin and the promise of eternal life. He alone is the mediator between us and God today. There is no other name given whereby men will be saved. You know, God does nothing in half measures, and we can say with confidence this morning that you will be saved when you believe in the Lord Jesus with all your heart. It's not the case where you might be saved. It's not a case of where you might be saved, but where you will be saved. God never works on mights. It's always will. John 14 verse 6 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So believing on Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, is the way to salvation. It's the only way to salvation. Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." With the heart man believes unto righteousness, but a sinner has no righteousness, no standing with God. And because they are far apart from God, alienated from God by unbelief, so the wages of sin is death. That is what they face. That is what they face. But when a sinner believes with their heart in Jesus, they believe unto righteousness. Their sins are forgiven. They're cleansed. And they receive a new life. And God gives them a true righteousness through the repenting of their sins and believing Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." So it's by believing on Jesus with all our heart that we become new creatures in him. We have new lives. We have new beginnings. We have everything new in Jesus. Titus 3, 5 to 7 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." If you haven't taken a step towards salvation today, now is your opportunity to have a life-changing experience, and it's as simple as opening your life thoroughly unto the Lord. Open your heart to him today. Believe on him. Receive him into your heart as your personal Lord and Saviour. And then you'll go on to love him and serve him with everything that you have. I've just mentioned their love. But can you remember your first love? The first love, when a couple falls in love and gets married, they find a deep love within. It causes them wanting to live together as man and wife. That's their first love. And when it comes to Jesus, we find a deep love. Are you still experiencing that love when you first surrendered to Jesus? Or have you waned a little bit? Has your heart gone cold? Or has it gone after other things today? 1 John 2 verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We're called to believe on the Lord with our heart, not just our head. He wants something from us that's genuine and real. He doesn't want us to make believe we're saved, or make believe we love him. He wants us to walk in truth. He loves us. He cherishes us. We should be thankful in our hearts today that he desires us and that we will receive, that he will receive us when we turn to him and believe. He wants us to be sincere in this believing. Sincere in our loving towards him. You know, something genuine and real, that God's love for us. You know, it's a love relationship with the Lord. It's not serving him is what we call it, a fire escape, fearing we that we will go to hell if we don't. Those terms don't mean much, because that's not wanting Jesus as a personal Lord. It's just something that you can get out of trouble with. Today, do you want eternity and eternal life? I want to be with the one forever. I want to be the one that loves me dearly. And that's why he wants me to be ready for his coming. He wants us to be ready for his coming today. Just to finish, John 14 verse 3 says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's a promise from the Lord today to each and every one of us, that we will be there with him. Amen. We're just going to listen to the final song, and it's "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow."